This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And as you know, we're broadcasting live from New York City all this week. We're at the Museum of Television and Radio. It's on 52nd Street, and we have had nothing but a good time since we've been in New York. We'll tell you about some of the things that we've seen. I took Craig Taylor, my good friend, down to, after he had another 16 pieces of cheesecake over at the Carnegie Deli, I lifted him over my shoulder and took him down to Times Square. And we actually saw somebody who asked us if we wanted tickets for the Letterman show. And we said, "Do you mean you can get in?" And we couldn't go because we're on the air right now. But maybe we'll be lucky enough. Brad Rifkin, speaking of television, is with us. He's a TV producer. And we've had him on the show before to talk about the future of television. And I think no better time than now to speak about the future of TV, Brad. Where are you right now?
Kieslings, which is a restaurant and bar not too far away from you. It's right around the corner on 52nd Street.
Well, you're right on the same street we are.
That's correct.
All right. You are. I guess you could have come over to the studio, huh?
I could have. I was meeting some people for some dinner.
Okay, let me ask you something about reality TV. What is going on with reality television since September the 11th?
Well, not a lot. I think what's going on right now, Phil, is that reality television is taking quite a fall. People don't want to see the kind of reality TV what's been on recently. Temptation Island, Survivor, a lot of these shows are not making it.
What is the reason for that?
Well, I think the reason for that, Phil, is that obviously what the country's been put through is far more glaring and far much more reality than these shows can offer. What we have done and what we've tried to do, even though we're up against an affirmative action thing that's going on in television right now, is to put together a reality show that we think is going to be outstanding. And we have shopped it to the networks. We've shopped it to cable companies. We got no takers, and I know what's going on out there. They want more shows produced by women and blacks, and there's nothing wrong with that. I support that, but I don't think you should keep good TV off the air because of that, and a lot of the gays, this kind of thing.
You're saying, in other words, it's a push to get more minority-produced shows on TV?
That is correct.
Well, the show that you've got right now, you mentioned a TV show called You Haven't Got the Guts, which is a show, it's a reality show that you're doing, even though you haven't been involved in reality TV, correct?
We have not been involved in reality television, and I'll tell you why, because I didn't like a lot of what it was, I didn't think it was going to last, and I was right. And I like to say, yeah, around my office, everybody says, "As usual, you were right, Mr. Rifkin." And as usual, I was right. Reality TV didn't last because it wasn't reality enough. You Haven't Got the Guts is an opportunity for our show to not only show people reality, but to do something for the country.
Now, does this involve single mothers and they're on welfare, correct?
That is exactly correct. We have a reality show, Phil, where single mothers who are on welfare have a chance to get off of welfare and at the same time give the audience a terrific bang for their buck in terms of reality TV. And the cash prize, $100,000, we would give it away every $300,000 every show. I mean, Fear Factor only paid $50,000. Some of these other shows didn't pay a lot of money. I can get three segments on my show of You Haven't Got the Guts.
Well, before you get into that, I want to find out a little bit more about You Haven't Got the Guts. And we're talking with Brad Rifkin, our number 1-800-449-8686. This is a show that risks serious injury and death, doesn't it?
I don't agree. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's based upon the old concept of the chicken run?
What we do, Phil, let me explain, okay?
Go ahead.
What we do is we take two women, two very brave and strong and wonderful women who are trying to get their family off of welfare. We put them each into an automobile. We have them speed up over a quarter of a mile to a speed of no less than 50 miles an hour, and it comes to a dead, there's a cliff, okay? Like we're thinking of using Palos Verdes Bluff down in Los Angeles for this. The first person to jump, you haven't got the guts, okay? And then the second person...
The first person to jump out of a speeding car.
The first, yeah.
These are women.
These are women, Phil. Now, keep in mind, this, I said, this is going to tread the edge of reality.
Now, these women are speeding in cars that apparently the brakes, there's no brakes in these cars, is that right?
Well, that's the concept. Anybody that knows anything about drag racing and quarter-mile race, there's no brakes. You have a parachute. These cars don't have any way to stop. You've got to jump out of the car. The first person to jump, and the audience will scream out, "You haven't got the guts." And that's the beauty. And then the second person, they win the $100,000. Simple as that. There's no build-up. There's no 14 weeks to find out whether somebody eats a rat. There's no... It's just boom, 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 $100,000 every time. And
what about the possibility, Brad, and you must have thought of this, that somebody isn't going to get out of that car and someone is going to get killed?
Let me tell you what. Survival is a strong thing. You take a woman and who is on welfare with four children and she wants to feed those kids, she'll jump out of that car. That's a guarantee. She's not going to stay in the car.
What if the door gets stuck? What if anything? And I'm reminded of that scene in Rebel Without a Cause where the door gets stuck.
No, these cars, you can get out, you can roll. The women have got elbow pads, knee pads. You jump out, you roll, you're fine. And they've got a helmet like the one my daughter's got a go-ped where they wear the helmet. They get it all, okay? The cost in this thing, the production cost in this thing is nothing. You get jalopies, so you've got a series of cars all the time. I got 20 minutes of program content, about 5 minutes national, 5 minutes local avail. I can put probably three races on in 1.5 hours on You Haven't Got the Guts. The show gets women off of welfare because they get $100,000 if they've got the guts.
And the woman who jumps out of the car first...
She hasn't got the guts.
She hasn't got the guts. Does she win any money?
Well, you know, no, she does. She gets some consolation prizes. We've got some things, you know, dish towels or something. We got tie-ins with sponsors, some shampoo and things like that. You know, so you ask about the danger. You could die slipping in a bathtub. There is risk in everything. And this risk has a payoff of $100,000 for a welfare mother. She's got to have at least four kids. And the other thing about the loser, you mentioned the one that jumps first.
Yeah, the one that jumps first.
No. Everybody, she gets powdered milk. We've got a tie-in with the condensed milk people. Milk for the children. Milk for the children, okay? So nobody walks away a loser. It's just...
Well, the one more thing here, because I'd heard about your show, okay? I've got some contacts in the TV world, and they told me that this show got a pass from every major network. This show got a pass from every major cable company.
And the reason for this is obvious to me, Phil. This show is can't miss.
And you say this is some kind of an affirmative action thing going on.
That's right.
Meaning what? Meaning
they want more women and they want more of the more gays and these people to bring shows, which I'm totally in favor of. But I don't think that you cut your nose off to spite your face. Television right now needs to reinvigorate the reality show. The thing that's going on right now is they want more shows, and I don't mean to say nothing. They want more of the Muslim shows.
Muslim shows?
Well, they don't want Muslim, but they want more shows produced by Muslims because of what's going on. So this is what I mean by affirmative action. So they want to get more shows in from Muslims, and I have gotten sort of, I'm sort of left in the dust. We think the show can't miss.
All right, I can tell you right now, I think the show risks serious injury to people. It risks...
So does Survivor. So does Temptation Island. So did...
What risk? I mean...
So all of these reality shows...
No, but what risk did Temptation Island possibly run for the people?
If you look at Temptation Island, you look at some of those people... They looked like they wanted to rip each other's throats out. There was one guy on that show.
No, but I mean serious physical. Come on, you're talking about...
No, I mean it. You're talking on Survivor 2, one guy almost burned his face off. Now, you got to be kidding me with a show like that. On this show, you've got an opportunity for women to get their kids off of welfare. We're not just getting a bunch of pretty faces up there to say, hey, you know, my girlfriend might cheat on me. I'm going to be on Temptation Cruise or whatever that show's called. And this isn't just a bunch of people out in the woods where they're going to get some, that guy comes and gives them, a sandwich. This is every 10 minutes, or every 5 minutes, somebody runs the risk of serious injury. And we think, but more importantly, they run the risk of winning $100,000.
And this program is not on the air, you claim, because of some affirmative action push.
Yeah, I don't want to hit that too hard. I'm not sure.
Well, you are saying your show's not on the air because they're trying to get more shows on, and if I wrote you down correctly, Muslim produced?
Yeah, just the affirmative action thing. But we have a chance to...
Well, you're asking women to get into speeding jalopies toward a cliff and then jump out, and the first one that jumps out hasn't got the guts.
And, but the other one wins $100,000.
If she gets out of the car, Brad.
No.
No, if she gets out of the car.
No, you ask any woman out there, you got kids to feed, you'll jump from the car. You're not going to say, oh, well, I guess I'll just go over the cliff. That's insane. That's stupid. And there's no way that a woman who loves her children is going to say, well, you know, I think I'll just take it off the edge of the cliff. There's no way it's going to happen. And there's no way we'd let it happen.
All right, Brad Rifkin, I mean, the show is pretty extreme. It's called You Haven't Got the Guts. Two welfare mothers get into speeding jalopies that head toward a cliff. And the first one to jump loses. The second one to jump
wins $100,000.
Wins $100,000. And I guess she has the guts.
That's right. And there's no brakes on the cars.
No brakes on the cars. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking television this week on the Phil Hendry Show, and we're the Emmys are coming up. And
yeah, this show is a surefire Emmy winner in the category of the reality show, which I think is another thing. There's a lot of jealousy. A Survivor, and
whatever the complications are. You know, I'm sure that the jealousy with regard to the Emmys can't be playing into it because the show's not even on the air yet.
But the word gets out.
All right, Brad Rifkin with us here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the TV show You Haven't Got the Guts, which as of yet is not on the air, about two welfare mothers jumping out of a speeding car. The one who second, she gets $100,000.
And the promise of getting the kids off of welfare.
And the promise of getting her kids off of welfare. No brakes on the cars. It's not on the air, you claim, because they want more Muslim-produced TV shows. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
But, you know, they got ringside seats. That's the beautiful thing about that.
Well, you got the kid. All right, we're back on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin from Rifkin World Entertainment. You have the women's children sitting ringside?
That's right. What you do is, as the women are speeding down the raceway, they can look over and see what's at stake. They see the kid, then they look ahead, they see the kid. Do I jump? Do I not? When you see those kids with big signs that say, go mom, and that, you know, I mean, I suppose a really negative woman who's on the edge is going to take it right over the side. She just says, I can't, forget it. You know, four kids, I can't.
Well, that's what I'm thinking here. She's desperate.
No, she's not going to do it. She's not on our show to lose, Phil. There are no losers on You Haven't Got the Guts. Only people that don't have guts. And you're not dead.
All right, the show is called You Haven't Got the Guts. Two welfare mothers speed in jalopies toward a cliff. The first person to jump hasn't got the guts. The other one wins $100,000. Here is Becky on The Phil Hendry Show. Becky, go ahead.
I'm sick. I'm just sick that someone would want to put this on TV in front of children first to see.
I can't hear the caller. Could you speak up, ma'am?
We're having a little...
I'm sick. I'm utterly disgusted with you that you would want... I believe that some woman would jump.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
You're disgusted with a program that gets women off of welfare that helps.
No, I'm disgusted with the fact that you would want my children to watch someone jump over the cliff to try to save their children's life.
Well, no, wait a minute. They're not jumping off the cliff, right?
No, they don't.
No.
They jump out of the car, ma'am. They jump out. It's just that the first person to jump out of the car is gutless. The other one gets the $100,000.
Right.
And you're
telling me that some woman who is on welfare, who has four children, is not going to be so desperate that she would stay in the car so that her children would be able to sue this television station.
That's a good point. What happens if she stays?
And be made for the rest of their lives.
No, because the rule clearly states to get the $100,000, you got to jump out of the car. If you stay in the car and go over the cliff, all bets are off. You don't get the money.
Oh, come on. She stayed in the car. She had the guts.
Yeah, but she didn't have the brains, okay? I mean, the show's about...
Well, then why don't you call it You Got Brains or something?
Well, you got to have guts. They sign a release form, first of all. I don't know the caller's name.
It's Becky.
Becky. They sign a release form. This is standard in all television.
Sure.
So, good luck.
So, well, I'm disgusted.
I don't know if you're... I don't think you're on welfare. You're speaking in the third person. You're not on welfare, right?
No, but I would not want my children watching people seeing...
What about the kids? Yeah, what about children watching this on TV?
Children watching mothers that love their children so much that they would race toward death, I think is inspiring. And I think that there are probably a lot of women out there that wouldn't want their kids to watch it because they don't want the kids to think, look, that mommy's better than mine. What about
that? Well, I think that's a...
I
think I wouldn't want my children watching it.
You think your kids would see that show and say, look, mommy, look what that mother would do for her children. Why don't you get into a jalopy
and race toward a cliff?
Well,
right.
Yeah,
why don't my children get in a car and go race towards the cliff? Because look how much fun it is, and maybe somebody will pay me $100,000.
So you wouldn't die for your kids. So in other words, I just want to be clear: you wouldn't die for your kids. I mean,
I would die for my.
You wouldn't die for your kids.
No, that is not.
Would you die for your kids, or would you not? See, that's
of
the
course
that's
I would
the
die
question,
for my
Becky,
kids.
On you haven't got the guts. Would you die for your kids or not? Three
of course
times
I would, but I wouldn't
hour.
Want my
boom,
kids
boom,
out
boom.
Dying
Five
because they thought
avails.
They could get $100,000.
Forget about the sales job.
What's that, man?
I wouldn't want my kids out driving a car towards a cliff hoping that they could win this $100,000 because they saw it on TV.
What are you, crazy? It's for welfare mothers. It isn't for... I can't explain it. Look,
so can you expect every child...
Okay, look, we got to...
The 5-Minute National.
Forget about how many spots you're going to be selling on this thing, okay? I'm just trying to find out, you know, the morality of this.
The morality is clear. A mother loves her children. A mother loves her children. We need more of that.
Yeah, with 5 minutes for national and local avails.
Well, you know, so in other words, I starve. Is that what you want? In other words, I don't get to eat. This is the whole thing. I got Muslims with the show.
Yeah, you with this Muslim affirmative action, which I think would have to be checked out, quite frankly, to find out whether there is any veracity in that at all. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
There is an affirmative action move in TV. It's about family values.
Hello.
You there, sir? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just calling in disgust of listening to the whole idea of Mr.
Yeah,
Rifkin.
You sound like you're really disgusted.
Well, yeah, I'm totally disgusted. I can't believe you're devaluing. What?
You're a demographic.
What?
Men. That's the demographic.
Men. Yeah, and you know what? You're devaluing and disrespecting humankind.
How
Mr.
am I
Rifkin?
Doing that when I give a woman a chance to get $100,000 to get her kids out of, you know, walking, drinking Hawaiian punch and going down to the store and getting, you know, you know how these people eat?
Why would you only limit it? Why would you only limit this contest to welfare women then?
And the idea that Muslims are keeping me...
Well, I don't know that that's true.
There's an affirmative action...
Affirmative action what? Affirmative action to get shows on TV produced by Muslims?
Yes, because of all the stuff that's going on. Keep that in mind, Bob.
What?
You're quick. I like you. Okay? You could put a kid through college, Bob, and your kids, you could put your 15 kids through college. What, you send them to J.C.? So with $100,000...
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-86...
Bob, you there?
Yeah.
Bob, okay, yeah. Got it? All right, how long has your wife been on welfare?
He didn't say that his wife is...
What?
I'm not married.
I knew that. I just thought I'd... So how long have you been on welfare?
He didn't say that he was on welfare.
How about you? How long have you been on welfare, Rifkin?
That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, Bob.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back. I've got to, first of all, I have to make sure that I've got information right here about this show because I understand there was an incident where a woman almost didn't get out of the car while you were taping the pilot.
She got out of the car. She's fine. You think this is dangerous? Wait till you see what. You think this is dangerous? Wait till you see when they get some of the Middle Eastern shows on.
Never mind that, okay? I want to find out about this incident that occurred where a woman couldn't get out of the car when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show. Brad Rifkin. The show is called You Haven't Got the Guts, Welfare Women Racing to the Edge of a Cliff for $100,000. We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm with Brad Rifkin. He is with Rifkin World International Television, and they've got a TV show that they've been pitching called You Haven't Got the Guts, where women who are on welfare with their kids sitting in the audience speed jalopies toward a cliff. The first one to jump out of the car, and a jalopy is an old broken down car, right?
Yes, a jalopy is an old broken down car. First one to jump hasn't got the guts. The other one gets $100,000. Now, you were going to bring up an incident.
Yeah, let me bring up this incident, because one of the women during the pilot, she jumped out of the car and her arm got caught in the seatbelt.
She jumped from the car, and we have since re-engineered that seatbelt, Phil. It is not unusual. It's not unlike what happened to, well, what happened to Dale Earnhardt was, is not the same thing.
Yeah, he died.
Well, we learned from that. You haven't got the guts, learned the very horrible lessons of the Dale Earnhardt crash, and now we've re-engineered the belt.
Well, the woman jumped out, her arm caught in the belt, and she was dragged 300 feet.
But the car stopped, and what we've done is...
Yeah, the car stopped, according to your press release, because the woman grabbed a hold of the ground, clawed, and slowed the car down.
That's what we think, yeah. This car slowed down because she just dug her hands into the dirt. And
dug her hands into the dirt?
Yes, sir.
How have you re-engineered this?
The way we've re-engineered it, the point is you don't need seatbelts, so we don't have any in there anymore. So she's not going to get her arm caught in. The point is get out of the car. What do you need a seatbelt to keep you in the car for? That's the whole point that we're trying to make. But people miss that. They want to just talk about the negative stuff, about how somebody is going to get killed. Nobody's going to get killed. The kids are in the front row. Go, Mom, go. She goes like a bat out of hell, excuse my French. And could win $100,000.
Well, that woman, I'm surprised, didn't sue you, but I guess she signed a release, huh?
They do. They have to sign releases, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Brad is talking to us from Keesling's Restaurant on 52nd Street here in New York. Here is Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I honestly think it's ignorant to take people who are on welfare and throw them in a car, the first one to jump gets $100,000. I pity this.
I pity this production company.
Now, you've been talking. Now, you need to listen to the people for a second. You've been sitting here yapping about this show. Let the people talk about this show for a second. I pity the day.
A race fan would love this.
The what?
A race fan would love this. NASCAR fans. His car's going fast.
Yeah, you brought up Earnhardt a minute ago. The race fans
right.
didn't love it when he died in a car, did they?
No, they didn't.
And the kids aren't going like this when they see their mother die.
No,
and eventually that is going to happen because you crazy people are doing this.
No, she's not going to die because there's no seatbelt.
How can you say that?
Because, first of all, she sees the kids. She's going down the road. She looks over. There's the kids. Why would I want to die? They're my four beautiful kids. I'm going to win me $100,000. She jumps.
What if she can't get out of the car? Have you ever been? Why don't you strap your tail into that car?
You don't get strapped in. There's no seatbelts.
Well, why don't you get your tail in that car and run towards a cliff?
Look, the ratings for NASCAR have never been higher since, and I say this with all due respect, since
because they support it. I guarantee you, I support NASCAR. They will not support this little rumpus of a show you got going.
We're trying to do a tie-in with NASCAR. I can see this show on in bars, men having a few beers. They watch. Look, you know what I'm talking about. You watch some trash, risk it all. And
so some trash all of a sudden now. That's what it is, some white trash.
No.
Well, you got that right.
No.
You're about two steps away from throw white trash your daggone self because
hey,
it's going to happen when a parent dies and the kids see it.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what this gentleman's saying. What if whatever the lady dies?
Life, we have learned since September the 11th, is full of risks. I learned that lesson. I saw, you know, all of them brave people. So look at that. You risk a little bit, you get $100,000. That's what we learned, Mark. And I think you need to understand.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. What do you think it's going to do to the kids to sit there and see their mother die? You know how tragic that's going to be for the people, let alone the kids? Evidently, you don't have a care about it. And I said it before when I was talking to the radio show host that it's all about the buck. If you want the best, why don't you go out and do something good for people? Donate like I do. Donate like everybody else does to help these people.
I am donating $100,000.
But she's got to get into a car.
Yeah, that's all she has to do. I mean, it's...
You're donating $100,000. No, you're putting a life on the line for $100,000. And, my friend, a life is worth a lot more than $100,000. I don't know what planet you grew up on, but I think you need to go back to it. That's not where you do things.
There's a lot of Muslim-produced shows that are going to be on TV.
What's this Muslim?
You get his show on the air first.
Oh, bull crap. I know people in TV. There's no such thing.
That's what I heard. Why isn't my show on the air?
You heard? Because that's what you heard. Are you running on rumor? You said a minute ago you heard she put
There's
her hands
no such...
in the sand or the dirt and slowed the car down. What do you know about your own damn show? Except you're willing to kill somebody for $100,000.
When I saw that accident, I left the set.
Oh, you left the set.
There might have been liability.
Oh, so you got into your limousine and left the set while the lady is grabbing for the ground and slowing the car down.
Look,
how far in left field are you waiting for that ball to fall?
You know something? Waiting for the ball to fall, it's very good. I think that you'd love our show. If
I would actually despise your show. I would hate it. I cherish life too much. And I think the people that are on your show are nothing but ignorant.
We have here tape of the lady who was, in the car who was dragged.
That's right.
Then you go up to her kids with a microphone and go, did you see your mom get dragged 300 feet? What do you think about it?
Well, I wish they were there.
I mean, what kind of a thing is that?
We went over and said, hey, did you see that? Your mom stopped the car. She didn't go over the cliff.
What if she couldn't?
She was fine.
What if she couldn't?
I think you guys that aren't in TV, you know, should just let the TV guys do what the TV guys do, and you guys keep on, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. If every network here has turned you down, do you think you're doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I think I got a dynamite show. I guarantee you.
Where's it at?
This thing gets a 20 share.
Where's it at?
It's a 20 share, huh?
Where's it at?
All right, look,
your show.
Where's my show at?
Yeah,
where is it right now? It's in limbo.
Yeah,
you know what that is.
I think that's where your whole little organization belongs, in limbo, and stay there.
Right, I gotta move on. Thank you. You see, you got people upset?
When I got people upset, why? Because I want to get 100 G's. She's got her kids drinking the Hawaiian Punch. All of a sudden, I'm a bad guy.
You can't just put women into cars with no brakes and no seatbelts, send them at a minimum speed of 50 miles an hour toward a cliff, and say the first one who jumps hasn't got the guts, and the other one gets $100,000. And then when the woman's dragged 300 feet, you interview her kids and say, wow, did you see? I saw the interview. You were there with a microphone saying, wasn't that neat?
Well, it was neat to see a slower. You ever see somebody slow a car down by grabbing the dirt?
Grabbing the dirt. For all I know, man, the reason why the car slowed down is because the fuel line busted or something, and there wasn't any... Fortunately for that lady, there was no way she could be propelled over that cliff.
Look, these people don't know TV. I do. It's my life. It's in my lifeblood.
This is the stuff... Well, you ever had a show produced is what I'd like to know. What show have you had produced?
I've had plenty of shows produced. They never got on the air, but...
Yeah, but you had them produced. Here is June on the Phil Henry Show. June, go ahead.
I just want to say that you... are so ridiculous. You are no better than the Taliban exploiting, abusing, and mistreating women and getting them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And
I am.
And call
you hear these are women calling
and ask
in.
Her why she hasn't gotten her second job.
Who?
Because you don't pay her enough alimony.
Are you talking about my personal life?
That's the man that you sound like. You're no better than the Taliban, the way you want to abuse women. Because a real man
is trying to help women. The Taliban gives women $100,000, and the Taliban put women on TV.
Would try and find another way.
Look, first of all, most of these women think it's payment enough to go on TV. You're what?
If you're not off the air in 2 minutes, I'm changing the station. You are no better than the Taliban.
Lady, I'm giving you a chance to win $100,000. You and your kids. And you don't want to do that, do you? No, you don't want to do that. You want to compare me to the Taliban. I didn't know they were giving $100,000 to their kids or to their women. Hello?
She hung up, man. And you got to understand something. Women are going to...
Yeah, women don't know money. They say they know how to handle money. What is this thing about how women know how to handle money? I'm offering 100 G's, and all she's got to do is get in a car with no brakes, no seatbelt, and go to a cliff that's 300 feet high.
Yeah, and hope that she jumps out. And you got her wearing skateboard gear.
It's good. It's the elbows and the knees.
And a little rubber helmet for the head, I bet.
We don't have those. We got the plastic bell helmet.
Oh, forget it, man. You know, OSHA's going to shut you down before anybody else.
Well, look, if you want to come down for a drink and talk about...
I'm not interested in investing in your show.
Well, that's not what you told me before we were on.
But anyway, Okay, I said that I might be interested in investing in a television prospect, but I had no idea, folks, that this was it. He had told me that there were seatbelts. 1-800-449-8686. And, you know, there's a lot of things.
Mr. Henry, what I would love to do is have you come down and be on...
I don't want to be on your show or talk to anybody on it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. All right, so we're in New York City, as you know, and we are here by way of many great people, among them the people at Priceline.com. Phil Henry's official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, and rental cars. Go to Priceline.com for all of your travel needs. And what do we do today, Craig? Oh, yeah, Craig, I call him up at about 11 o'clock. I said, you want to go to lunch? He goes, dude, I'm about to take a tour of Radio City Music Hall. I'm like... Okay. He goes, no, it's going to be bitching. So, was it cool? So he went out, he saw Radio City Music Hall, and tomorrow he's going to go see an aircraft carrier that's sitting out in the ocean. You do a lot of that tour stuff. It's very nice, man. Then we went, I met him at the corner there of whatever the hell it was, 52nd and 100 millionth. You know, everything is a number. And they all, one runs one way, the other goes the other way. But as I stood there, I was watching some construction workers sitting on a wall, and they were having their lunch. And it's really quite a, it was actually 52nd and 7th Avenue, or 6th Avenue, Avenue of the Americas, is that it? And I was watching them have their lunch, and this is a city, by the way, that continues to build. I'm not talking about shoveling the debris from Ground Zero. I'm talking about there are buildings going up all over this town. There's renovation going on all over this town. You walk through Midtown, it is an unbelievable thing just to see all of the construction, all of the work that's going on. This place hasn't stopped. It's almost like, you know, if you look at a prize fight and a really tough fighter takes a pretty good shot off the chin and he's kind of wobbly for a couple of rounds, but then he's right back at it. That's the sense that I get about New York, you know, with this horrible thing that happened on September the 11th. And now everything's back up to speed. The only thing that they don't have here that they had before September the 11th is an abundance of tourists, which is what we're hoping just in some small way to change by being here in New York City. We are hoping that you will see that we're here. Believe me, I'm here. I'm having a blast. I'm not King Kong. I'm not, I'm not Superman. I get scared at night when I hear, you know, noises and I need to leave the nightlight on. And when I go to the bathroom, I'm a big scaredy cat. But I'm here because it's this, you know, it's... There's nowhere else to be right now if you're an American. The New York City and to be here and enjoy the place. You know, everybody's coming here, and they want to go to Ground Zero. Craig wanted to see it. I don't blame you. So we got on the train, and we went downtown, got off on Fulton Street, just like a couple of dorks. We're sitting on the train there in Times Square. Hi, we want to go to Ground Zero. Do you know,
Yes, sir. Just take Fulton Street.
Okay. How much is it, sir?
$1.
Okay. And we're with the map, you know, and everybody's, oh, boy, looking at it. No, we're on the yellow line. That one goes all the way up here. Let's go to the Bronx. No, I don't want to go. So then we finally, that's north anyway, man. We got to go down there. And we get off on Fulton Street. Then I walk over to a cop. Very nice cop. Everybody's been great. Very friendly. And the cops, I said to the cop, excuse me, officer, can you tell me where Ground Zero is? Yeah, you see those cranes? Oh, okay, thank you. I'm sorry. The cranes, right? It's right there, man, where the dirt and the smoke and everything. You got it. Okay. So we went over and we stood, and twice in a lifetime is enough. I'm done. I don't need to see it anymore. I mean, the first time I went down with Maria on Sunday night, that was rough, but it was dark, and there wasn't a big crowd, and so, and for some reason, the people were a bit more communicative, the ones that I talked to, the National Guard and the police. But the second time down, it just kicked the crap out of me. And you could see every face, the same thing. Everybody just looking on in complete astonishment. And the signs, there's a sign from San Diego. There's a sign from Ottawa. There's people sending stuff from Salt Lake City. There's people sending stuff from Hawaii. I mean, all over the world. So, and I'm looking at Craig, and he couldn't believe his eyes. So we turned around, and you had to get out of there. You know, like I said, it's two times in my life, that's it. Next time I go down there, I'd like to see some really big buildings or trees, something. Something in its place, and I'm sure that I will. So then we left. We went up to Times Square and had ourselves some lunch, and I don't know what you had. Where did we go? I don't even remember. But I do remember walking by the Letterman Theater and having a woman say to me, "Tickets for the David Letterman show, sir? Would you like David, you want to go and see the thing?" I said, "You're kidding, right?" She goes, "No, there's nobody. Nobody comes to this thing anymore. I'm kidding about that." But she said, "No, we can't get them in here." And I said, "Well, I got to work, but I'd love to, get Buzz off, okay? Sorry." And I'm like telling her my life story. She doesn't care. So if you want to go see the David Letterman show, you can get tickets. And seriously, I was talking to somebody, all the shows, it's not just David Letterman show, it's any show, it's difficult because you don't have the abundance of people here like you would have were this another time, another place. I mean, people lining up around the block to go see the shows. So it's kind of thinned out that way, too. But anyway, I wanted to mention, I saw something uniquely New York. It's like out of a movie, and there's so much stuff that you see in this city that you only saw in movies, and you thought that was a load, and, why are they putting that in the movie? I'm standing there waiting for Taylor, and I'm at the corner, and everybody's eating lunch, and I'm standing, and I'm watching, and I'm enjoying everything, and there's a line of construction workers. Suddenly I hear these guys go, literally, these guys said this all at once, "Yo, Paulie! Yo, Paulie!" And there was a guy going across the street. And it must have been Paulie, because he's, hey, Paulie. 1, 2, 3, so yo, Paulie. There was a guy named Paulie. And they were all going, yo. Yo, Paulie. So that was the moment for me, man. Forget about going to see the Rockettes. Forget about the Radio City Music Hall. Forget about going to the Statue of Liberty. When I heard those guys say, yo, Paulie, I knew where I was. It was tremendous, and we've had nothing but a great time. Now, my wife today went off shopping. What I did is we just went down to Ground Zero. We came back on the train, staggered up to the street above, went and had some lunch, went on over to Premiere, started prepping the show, and came over here. My wife, on the other hand, has taken off, went shopping. I don't know where. All I heard her say was, "I had to go back to the hotel. The bags were too heavy." So, whether it's imported silk, I don't know what she's got. What she's got is the bags are too heavy. So it could be anything. It could be an urn. She's purchased things. Anyway, we do want to thank the great people at Priceline.com. We're staying in a great hotel. We flew in a great airline, and we're in a great city. And after we get off the air tonight, there's going to be some new adventure we're going to go off to do. And when I say new adventure, it generally, for me anyway, involves food. Last night we went into a deli market. We had the orangutan stew. It was great. Anyway, we're here from Priceline.com, Phil Henry's official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, rental cars. They got it all. Go to Priceline.com. I don't care where you're going. Go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs. This is the Phil Henry Show.